Welcome to Career Tours. This week, high S, working from home downfall. Questions this cast answers are, what are high S's likely to forget when working from home? What should high S's do to make working from home more effective? And how can high S's make working from home easier? Like you, I listen to podcasts while walking, driving, mowing the lawn, and doing other chores. And like you, I listen at 1.25 or 1.5 speed, depending on how fast the person speaks. I can't take notes, and even if I could, I couldn't take them that fast. And that's what show notes are for. Unlike other podcasts, our show notes are not a list of bullet points or links. It's the text of a show in an essay-like form. No note-taking required. Read them to remind yourself what you thought at the time, for a quick refresher when you need it, or as an alternative to listening during busy periods. All you need is a ManagerTools personal license. Go to ManagerTools.com, look for products in the menu bar, and scroll down to personal license. You won't regret it. Now, if you've heard the last two podcasts, the one about high Ds and high Is, the beginning of this cast is going to be the same. We're going to go through what DISC is and the different vignettes of the different styles. So if you've heard that already, you can skip to about 6 minutes, 30 seconds in, roughly, and then we'll be starting from there with the actual content, unless you want to hear it for a third time. As we've already discussed, remote working, at least part-time, is likely to continue for most of us after 2021, whether it's our own preferences that we've discovered we like working from home, or it's the economics for companies who've discovered they don't have to pay for offices, or whether it's another crisis, like just last week, the Colonial Pipeline meant that nobody had gas to get to work. We've proved that remote working can work, and now it's going to become one of the range of normal things that people do. Like, your choices to work are now include remote. And if we know that, then we know we've got to get good at it. And that means avoiding the traps that our behavioral preferences can lead us into. And we all have them. They're kind of different for each person, but we all have them, and there's some that we share. And in this cast, that's what we're going to address. We're going to talk specifically about the ones that high S's tend to fall into. But if you are listening and you're not a high S, you'll still get value from this because it'll explain a lot about your high S colleagues. And we hope that you still get value from it.
Okay, so the outline for today. We're going to start our conversation by talking about explaining what is a high S, followed by some tips around concentrating, disconnecting, and speaking up. All right, so let's start our conversation then, our discussion, by talking about what the high S is. Now, a high S means, or it refers to the fact that that's one of the four DISC profiles. DISC is a self-administered behavioral assessment that measures how assertive or reserved one is and how task-focused or people-focused they are. Now, those, to be clear, are independent variables. And DISC itself has a long history of significant scientific validity. Now, in terms of the profiles, there are four. The first is the high D. D stands for dominance. That's the tendency to exert power and assertiveness. Eyes stands for influence, the tendency to assert oneself socially and interpersonally. S, what we're discussing today, it stands for steadiness, the tendency to engage in reserved, thoughtful behavior. And the last then is C, stands for conscientiousness, the tendency to be reserved and analytical.
And so we're going to give you a short description, a little vignette of each of them here now, but we have a whole bunch, probably 100 podcasts about different aspects of DISC profiles and how to use them and what to do if you're this and you're in this situation and so on. So if you want more information, just go to manager-tools.com and search for DISC in the search bar and you'll come up with 100 podcasts.
Exactly.
So high Ds are the hard charging, take no prisoners type of people. We don't mind taking ownership, making decisions, moving fast, and breaking things. That's me and Sarah. And yeah, I was talking to Mark earlier about FedEx. I was having a problem with them picking stuff up. And I said, if they don't do it by this time, I will go down there, pick the thing up, and take it to the airport myself. Mark was like, get out of your way, right? And I was like, yes, That's exactly what a Heidi is like. We achieve the goal no matter the cost. And we get straight to the point, often sending one word or one sentence emails. When a Heidi sends a short email that's only a couple of words, they are not cross. They are not mad. They're just efficient with their words. We're not patient or good with details. And that's fine by us. We have other strengths.
We have other strengths, exactly. That takes us then to high eyes. High eyes are the people on your team that could sell ice cubes to snowmen. High eyes are sociable people who have a friend in every department. Sometimes I think of them as social butterfly. You need a guy? They got a guy for everything. Go to your high eyes. They will hook you up. Every meeting for high eyes is improved if more of their friends are in it. Right? The more brainstorming activities we can do, the more cool technology we can use, the better. And in terms of eyes, they're more big picture idea people, the strategy person, as opposed to the putting in practice all the tiny minute details of a project. They tend to want to manage the people rather than the project or the tasks itself. Sometimes eyes can be heard saying, trust the people, the work will do itself. High eyes love emails with jokes and inclusive of witty sayings.
Next come high S's, and this is you. You are the people who take care of your team. You know everybody's family, everybody's preferences, and you can tell everybody's mood. You help the team slow down and ensure that everybody's point of view is heard and respected. And you always start your emails by asking how people are, and you actually want to know the answer. Hi, eyes say, how are you? But they just want to be able to tell you how they are.
Yeah, exactly.
And not everybody thinks like you do, amazingly. Not everybody asks and actually wants to know the answer.
Right, that is very true. The next, or the last, I should say, the one we're going to do next week is high C's. High C's are the data analysts on the team. They're the ones who are deep into the details. They know all of the tiny little details about the project. They help the team get the right things done, and they think of every permutation to get you there. C's sometimes can be, or sometimes are thought of as being pessimists because they always think of the problems, but they're doing it in an attempt to help build a better solution. High eyes are calm, they're very logical, and their communication is slow, structured, and correct.
So now you have an idea of you and how you fit into the people around you. Now we've got some things that are specific for you and problems that you might have found working from home or that you might find if you start working from home. And the first one you have in common with the high eyes, which is that you struggle to concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
Your nature is to care for the people around you. You put people, especially important people like your family, ahead of work tasks. You say, my children come before my work tasks. And that's the right order, family first. We say that. But it can mean that you never get to the work tasks, especially if you have children at home.
Right.
Younger children. There's always something, and they can, you know, end up with a rolling, I need you, I need you, I need you, and you never get around to the work. And of course, your family's needs are important. If you have young children, they absolutely need food and water and comfort and instruction and all of the things. But if you allow yourself to be constantly distracted by minor needs, you'll not get the results that the company is paying for. And if that happens, you'll lose your job and not be able to pay for your family to have a roof over their head or food in the fridge. So although family first, that could lead you to harming your family, essentially. So you have to be able to do both.
Exactly. So a strategy for high S's, wanting to take care of your family, moving to work from home, is to do everything you did before the pandemic, during the pandemic. Now, that is, even if you started working from home as a result of a new job, not necessarily the pandemic, whatever the cause is to working from home, that change to routine will discombobulate you. It'll throw you off a bit. So leaning on then the systems and processes, the routines that you used before when you did leave the household, even though you're at home, can sometimes help. Your household had before these routines, these things. For example, making a mid-morning snack. Before, you used to leave the house all the time. So you would pack lunches or snacks, or you'd have those things ready because, you know, the kids are going to want a snack at 10 a.m. Even though you are home, you can follow that same process.
Right. You could make the snack at 10 a.m. and be interrupted.
Right? That's the thing. Because the kids are going to want that 10 a.m. snack. You always gave them your 10 a.m. snack. They're just going to distract you and bother you at 10 a.m. to do it. So instead, make that snack before you start work like you used to do. Throw it in the fridge. And then when the kids say, where's my 10 a.m. snack? It's in the fridge. That will help prevent the distraction during the day.
And if you have a fridge with a drawer, you need to make sure the fridge, the lowest drawer in the fridge is height of your children. I'm just thinking like the freezer should be on the left. Well, you know, who knew that fridge construction had to go with the height of your children? But anyway, another thing you can do is make a schedule and tell your family you have to work during that time. And since it's at home, you can do it in a way that works with your children's ages or that's fun for you, or it doesn't have to be some formal, you know, it doesn't have to be a Word document or an Excel document with colors on it. You can have a whiteboard with smiley faces on it if that works for you, and just show them, you know, here's breakfast, here's getting ready for school, here's when mommy or daddy works, you know, here's lunch, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Older children can be told that they are not allowed to disturb you except if there's blood or fire.
Right.
And if
real emergencies.
Real emergencies. Exactly. If they really don't get it, or you find their presence very distracting, then make sure your office has a door that you can shut. And that might mean moving from where you're working now and another disruption, but it'll be better in the long run if you're struggling. If you can shut the door. Doesn't have to be locked, but if you can shut that door, it makes that extra bit of friction and a little bit more of sound baffling that will help you with the concentration.
Yeah, actually, speaking of sound baffling, white noise. There are a lot of new white noise apps that can sometimes help with that, blocking out the extra distraction that comes from work from home. It's hard to be in your house and hear the things that are going on without wanting to address them. Having a white noise machine or some other noise to keep your mind distracted prevents you from being distracted by all of the noises occurring around you.
The other thing I use sometimes is if you go to YouTube and you write music for studying or music for concentrating, there's hundreds of them and they're like 4 hours long. So you don't get to the end of it and then have to restart it usually. And that can be really helpful as well.
Right. Absolutely. Exactly. Just something else to have your mind think of.
If you haven't yet heard me say it on this cast, and I'm sure I will, the moment I understood that other people thought and communicated differently to me and that their ways of thinking and communicating had value, even though I didn't understand it, and that that would make our projects better, was a turning point in my career. I had to learn the hard way, but we can teach you to observe, analyze, and then tailor your communication in just one day. And I promise you, it will be a turning point for you too. If you go to manager-tools.com and look for training under the Effective Communicator Conference, you can see all the places that we are teaching this all over the world and virtually too. We have scheduled conferences for 2021 and all of 2022, but don't wait that long. As soon as you can attend the conference is as soon as you can make the difference in your career. So don't wait. Do it now.
All right, that takes us then to disconnect. Now, in terms of high S, again, you may also find yourself distracted by wondering how others in your team or even the wider workplace are doing, because you're used to being able to see them, passing them in the hallway, assessing body language or demeanor or facial expression, getting a read for how they're doing. That could tell you, it gave you indicators. You'd know whether or not they seem to need to talk or seem to need a shoulder at the moment. But now you don't see them, which means you might be tempted to call everyone, perhaps every day. Now, that's not too much, as long as both of you, yourself and the person you're calling, are getting all of your work done. Remember, even though you're calling in every case out of concern and genuine care, that still is something that might be preventing them from working, and that might have consequences in and of itself.
And whether you're still in pandemic times or not, every member of your team will be stressed at one time or another.
Yes.
We all go through a big work project or something at home or an illness or, you know, ups and downs are part of the human condition. And it's usually one person at a time. In a big team, it might be two, but usually it's one person at a time. Mm-hmm. It just works out that way. And the rest of the team picks up the strain. The rest of the team will cover some things for them. They'll do some work for them. They'll, you know, slow down so that that person's accommodated.
Mm-hmm.
If someone who is struggling does not work for you, then it's not up to you to fix their problems. As part of the team, you can and should shoulder your share of the burden. So, you know, the whole team picks up the strain. And if there's eight of you and one person suffering, that's seven people, and seven people divide that strain between them. But you don't need to do more than that. And certainly worrying about them doesn't help. Mark says, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere.
Exactly.
You know? So worrying about someone doesn't help. If you take more than your fair share, and you know it, it will lead to frustration and resentment. Because everybody feels that way. Even caring high S's get to a point where they're thinking, wait a minute, I'm doing everything for everybody. Why is this happening? And since you don't like to express your negative emotions, you'll be stuck with the extra work and the frustration. So the secret is not to get into that situation in the first place and not to try and take all of the burden for everyone all of the time.
Mm-hmm. That actually reminds me a lot, Wendy, of our podcast on the high S in task management. It's really common that high S's have not only all of their own work to do, but every time anybody's ever asked for help, they've said yes to it. And then to go a step further, they're the individuals that are first to call other people. Hey, how's it going? How are you on your end? Can I help? Which means that you end up with all of these additional tasks. Being mindful of that, spreading the burden, spreading the load, letting your peer know or your manager know, hey, this person needs help with X. Do you think you could help them out? As opposed to just taking it on yourself.
And part of the benefit of for a team of having a high S on the team is that they have that social glue, that they have the person who cares. They have the person who can take the temperature of everybody and knows how everybody is doing. And so if you're working from home, reaching out by text or by Slack or whatever instant message you use, or reaching out by phone, that is part of the value that you're providing to the team. That reach out, that making sure everybody is okay, that just checking in and making sure, you know, sometimes if I don't have a meeting, I don't talk to anybody all day. And, you know, if we had a high S on the team, maybe they'd call me and I'd feel a little less lonely. But that's part of the value of the tip. You just have to be careful that you're not doing that and not getting the results that you're expected to get.
Exactly. All right. This takes us then to our final point here. That is speak up. High S's tend to be more hesitant to speak up. Now, know, high S's, that your reticence to speak up can actually cause you harm when working from home. Back when you were in the office, your boss could see all your hard work, right? You could see with your head down, could see all the tasks you were getting done. Could see
you coming in early, right?
Right?
Could see you bringing tea to everybody.
Right? See all your work moving from inbox to outbox. It's easy to see those types of work product when you're together. Those kinds of things, though, become invisible when you work from home. So you'll need to overcome that reticence by more actively communicating in order for your work to be appreciated. Now, I know what you're thinking. You don't need to do this in a bragging way. Oh, look at all the cool stuff I did, boss. Look how good I'm doing. We don't want you to do it in a bragging way. But there's nothing wrong with sending your boss a courtesy note, just a hey status email, letting him know about the progress that you've made on your project. That's a really easy way, communication of current status, to show your work when you're not together.
Right. And it's not bragging because it's just a list of things you did.
Yeah.
There's no need to be shy about it. You can just send a list and that's fine. The other place you need to overcome your reticence is speaking up on video meetings. You know, when you're in the office or when you're in person and you're meeting, your body language can signal that you're ready to speak or you have an idea. There's something about people's faces.
Yeah.
We know they're ready to speak. And we know that high S's, you won't interrupt people. Those rude high D's and high I's interrupt people all the time. You won't do that because you are polite and you understand the rules of conversation. But the thing is, when someone is speaking or running a video meeting, we tend to only look at the person who is speaking. So on many of the video systems like Zoom and Teams, there's a big picture of the person speaking and all the other people are tiny little people. And because we can't see or we're not looking at the other people in the room, we don't know that they're about to speak or they want to speak. And we don't pay attention to that. And that means you have to speak up verbally and it may mean interrupting. Now, the good thing about Zoom and Teams and all of those things is because there's often a delay on the internet, you can interrupt and people will just assume that it was because there was a delay and you weren't rude at all. You can use the technology to your advantage and carry on being entirely polite, but also interrupt people. So if you don't do this, you will find that you are silent in meetings and then your thoughts don't get heard. And again, you'll have those negative emotions like frustration and resentment, and you'll end up in a way worse place than you are now. It's way worse for you to end up in that place than it is for you to interrupt someone in a meeting. And remember, D's and I's, so at least half of the people in the meeting don't care if you interrupt.
Right.
At all. So if you need to speak or if you want to speak, if you have something to say, then perhaps pay attention to who the D's and I's are and interrupt them rather than another S or a C, because those people tend to not interrupt and tend to not think it's okay. A D and I won't even notice. Now, you'll have to be loud to talk over them, but maybe that will make you feel better about by choosing who to interrupt, knowing how different people feel about it.
Right. And I mean, also use the tools to the best of your ability. Mm-hmm. Most of the tools have like a hands up feature or a thumbs up feature or if you're not on camera, then it becomes harder. But if you're on camera, you can put your hand up so that people can see that, right? Things like that, or coming off mute and even saying, excuse me, right? And interjecting, those kinds of things will help. Know that at no time is the team intending not to hear your point of view, but the lack of communication that is available to people in that virtual space is less so. We can't see the small visual or hear the small auditory cues that would normally signal people in the room to call on you. So it would be your responsibility then to speak up and make yourself heard.
That's a really good point. Like, nobody is trying to exclude you. It just is the downside of the imperfect medium that is Zoom and Teams and other systems.
Exactly. So to wrap it all up, guys, or to summarize, no DISC profile, and I think we've said this before many times, we'll keep saying it again and again, no DISC profile is better than the others. They're all equally as strong and equally as weak. DISC is not a test. It's a behavioral instrument designed to help you understand how your different behaviors work in different situations. Now, that said, it can be incredibly useful to help you stop getting in your own way. Some of those behaviors are working against you. And now you know virtually how those behaviors are working against you. So pay attention. Increase your collaboration in your communication while working from home.
Awesome. Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with the High C. Bye, everyone.